Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And a lot has happened since our last show. It's been a while. This is season 3 of our show, episode 14. The trade deadline seems like long ago. And it was kind of interesting for the Leafs. And of course, more recently, Austin Matthews hit that 50-goal mark. And that was exciting.
Oh, definitely. That was a long time coming with the last two seasons. By all accounts, he probably would have done it, a lot sooner, but he finally got it done. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to probably make it to the 60 mark, if not very, very close. Also, in the past couple of weeks, we saw the Leafs in a couple different uniforms. We got to see the St. Pat's jerseys again on St. Patty's Day this year. And also the Next Gen jersey, which was unveiled, which was a collaboration with Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that was cool. What'd you think of the Bieber jersey?
Okay. So I think when we first saw it, I remember I reserved the right to change my mind. At first, I didn't think I liked it too much. Yeah. But then when I saw that it was reversible, I thought that was actually really, really cool and innovative and different. And so I have to confess.
Yeah, I liked.
I did buy one.
Oh, you bought one? Really?
Yes,
oh, my God.
I did.
Oh, Lord. Okay, how many jerseys is that now?
I bought.
You have.
Okay, so, well, it's actually not that many.
No.
Really overall, because I don't count my Dion Phaneuf jersey anymore.
I think that's
three
or four you have.
I have three.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And this time I got Marner because I associate the Next Gen games very much with him.
Yeah.
He's just got that youthful exuberance that I associate with it. Yeah. So I decided I don't have a Marner jersey yet. So that's the one that I got.
I actually liked the black. Like, it really stood out with the white numbers, like the detailing on it. I thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when they were like on the ice as a team to see it like that. I thought that was really neat. And so you contributed to this. And when it was released on March 23rd, I saw on Twitter, they said it was the top selling item on NHL shop.com, like in the US and Canada. Mm-hmm. It was the top selling jersey on that day. I thought that was great.
It's totally selling out everywhere. And I mean, I even looked at other ones. Like, you couldn't, I think because Marner and Matthews are the most popular, they probably made more of those, but you couldn't get like any of the other ones. Like the Riley one, was sold out in everything. So,
And we just, before we came on the show, we were actually talking about the Biebs himself. I mentioned to Syl how it was just great how, in when he had his concert in Montreal earlier late in the week last week, I think it was on Friday night. But he basically gave it to the Habs fans there, and he said something like, "How are you liking that playoff spot for you guys? Right? How are you enjoying that playoff spot?" Meanwhile, obviously the playoffs are not happening for the Habs, and of course he was booed and everything. But we just love. It's just great to have a guy like that actually being a fan. Like, you can see his fan.
I love how he fans.
Yeah,
he is such a massive Leaf fan. And I think he is like very much to the Leafs what Drake is to the Raptors. And I think even more so, because like, it's just through and through his love for this team. And I just even loved, when he was at the game for that Next Gen game, afterwards in the locker room with all the guys. And, you can totally just see his relationship with Austin. Like, it's really a true friendship. So anyways, I think it's great. And he has definitely made a fan out of me. I'm a fan of his now. Yeah. More for his Leaf fandom, I think, than his music.
My niece, I said, I'm a fan of the Biebs now because he likes two things that I love, the Leafs and Tim's. So I said, he's got me now. I said, right. I said, he has the Leafs and Tim Hortons. So that's all I need.
But I mean, you know, I like that he is gotten to a point in his life where he's obviously really comfortable in his skin. He's doing what he loves, like even like through his Drew House brand. You know, I love that they're doing this kind of collaboration, and it's because he loves this. It's not because, you know, some agent or somebody's telling him that he needs to do these things. Yeah. He's doing them because he wants to do them. And I think good for him, you know?
Yeah. So what else, what caught our eye from the last couple
of weeks? There's also, over the past 2 weeks, let's getting back to the games now. There are also some stats that caught our eye. Alex Kerfoot has set a career best for points in a season, which is, you know, quietly putting together that, you know, like there's so much emphasis placed on that top line that we forget that there are other players, you know, that we just look at them and we think they're not doing enough sometimes, but they're putting together these career best seasons also. And Sheldon Keefe also got his 100th regular season victory versus Dallas on March 15th in his 163rd game behind the bench, which is a team record for being the quickest to reach the 100 win mark as a coach. So that's also something pretty special as well.
Yeah, and Mitch Marner, who we were talking about a bit, he hit a career best in goals in a season with 27, and he now has 28 goals on the season. We're recording this podcast on the Sunday, so that was Mitch adding something to his repertoire there, the shooting the puck. Mm-hmm. And and also for something different, I thought, I saw Captain John Tavares, his foundation, the John Tavares Foundation, they put out a new cereal called Recipe 91. So it's available at Sobeys, and the proceeds go directly towards the John Tavares Foundation, which helps kids reach their full potential. And I haven't tried it yet, but I went out and I bought a box of this cereal. So I'll let you know on, I mean, we'll probably post it on social media. It has chocolate and coconut in it. So I'm going to give it a try and I'll post it and on social media, let our listeners know.
Like who makes the cereal? Do we know, like, is it like a brand or is it just?
I don't know. No, anyways, it wasn't. It was.
It's interesting. I never thought there would be like cereal wars between hockey players. Yeah. You know, I remember Gretzky had a cereal back in the day, I think.
Yeah. Well, I definitely would not.
Yeah, like Marchand also has a cereal.
I was just going to say, I would not buy his cereal.
Yeah, no. We're definitely not going to put any more money into his pocket for sure. Yeah. So, before we move on to things, we do want to give a very special shout out to one of our fans and followers, Ryan Thompson from Atlanta, Georgia, who made a donation to our Ko-fi page. We are so thankful, Ryan. We appreciate you so much. And we are really, really excited that you decided to help us continue producing this show. So just a reminder to everyone that all donations go towards helping us with the cost of producing the show and making it even better for you. So on our Ko-fi page, we have a photo gallery that you can check out with some personal photos from our time at Maple Leaf Gardens and other pictures from game action this season. And another reminder, we also launched a new website this year, ladiestalkinleafs.com. So be sure to check that out as well. You can find videos on there where we were guests on Hockey Time Machine, which is a YouTube show. And you can also find out more about us and the show there.
Yeah. And also we have a new blog section that we just added to our website. So our first topic, we did a book review on Wendell Clark's book, Bleeding Blue. Wendell was one of my favorite Leaf players growing up. So it brought back a lot of great memories, and I tried to put that into the blog, and a lot of great memories from the late 80s and early 90s. So check that out when you have time.
All right, so let's get into the show because we have a lot to get into. So we're going to start things off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then we'll run our Ladies Talkin' Leafs highlight reel, and in our third period segment, we're going to get into some pre-playoff talk. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
good, the bad, the ugly. All right. It's actually been not so bad the last few weeks. For my good, I have the two-game pack versus Florida and Boston. I mean, those two games to me were almost as close as you could get to, let's say, a playoff-type game. And I just thought in that Florida game, the change, because going into that game, that Nylander-Tavares combination, line combination was not working. And Keith changed it up for that Florida game and put Mikheyev up there with JT and Kerfoot. So that Mikheyev brought a lot to that line. Anyways, he brought the speed and the energy and it just, yeah, it just made that line so much better. And those two games, they played with a lot of grit too. And in that Boston game, they were forced to play with 4D for basically half of the game. So that really showed their resilience there. And yeah, and then, of course, the new acquisition for the trade deadline was the Giordano effect, bringing that calmness to our back end really stood out in those two games. You could really notice it there on the back end. So yeah, that's I just really like those two games, and I hope they can continue that. Even though, I mean, there were some question marks in goal, let's just say, but Jack Campbell came back, played his first game versus Philly last night, so he looked good. But for those two games, yeah, the Shalgren played in the one. Was that the Boston game that Mrazek got injured? Yes. Yeah. I think it was, where he got injured and Shalgren had to come in.
Which is, that's a tough, tough place to have to try to get into.
Yes, for sure.
Partway through games.
Yeah.
Well, so.
Yeah. So a lot of adversity in that to go through. And yeah, I don't know. Those two games really, I think, built a lot of confidence for the team too. So I'm, that's my good.
I think so too. I have to agree. The other thing is that it's just typical, you know, with those are teams that are definitely, I would say, you know, on the more elite side of the teams and on the higher end of the standings. And we tend to play well and come to play against those teams.
yeah, that's one problem that we do seem to have.
That's the only thing that does concern me a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it showed that they can put it together and that they can put the pedal to the metal, you know, and basically not just kind of hang on. They really, instead, this is like the first time I kind of have seen them sort of pour it on, you know, and not stop, not take their foot off the gas, which is going to be a huge thing. I think that the Florida game was interesting because that's definitely a similar style to what we play. So, and very evenly matched. So if we end up against them, I mean, that's going to be, you know, a 7-game series for sure.
Yeah.
But I thought they looked really good against Boston, and I loved how they were also able to get under their skin, which is good.
Yes.
And they basically didn't get pulled into any crap either. No. So, I thought it was
good. Some of that is going to be in my next section with the referees. But anyhow, let's move on to your good first.
So it kind of moves into mine a little bit, because I think part of the difference in these games was my good, which was Mark Giordano. I actually really have seen and felt a big difference since he's joined our team.
Yeah.
Like, not only has he made Liljegren look really good and kind of calmed him down, but he plays a different style than what we're accustomed to seeing, I think, because he's a very, you know, It's real simple, old school defense that he plays. And it's so obvious because you can tell that our team generally does not play that way. But adding him into the mix is so huge. Even that game on Saturday night in the first period, that shot he blocked was great. Yeah. He's already scored a goal. Also amazing. Yeah. But he does all the little things and gets himself in the right positions. I think he's a great add.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean,
and he's keeping up, which is fantastic too. So, you know, I think a lot of people were maybe worried that he's going to be too slow or something like that. But
but
he's such a smart player that he gets himself in the right positions. Yeah. You know,
and when you're mentioning being slow, he moves up and down the lineup. I mean, he can move up and down the defense pairings, like that night versus Boston when we only had the 4D.
Yeah, and we were down. Yeah.
Right. He had to play quite a bit extra than what he, I mean, I think he had close to top ice time too with Seattle. So I think he was one of their top pairing defensemen there, so I don't think it's not like he hasn't played, but just the communication factor too, like Morgan Rielly was saying, how he's communicating with every, like especially with Liljegren, obviously with the defense partner, but he's really, he's communicating, making sure they both understand where they need to be and what he's thinking on certain plays, and also he can shoot the puck. Like from the point I'm noticing, like he's been on the power play a couple of times,
definitely.
Which is something that we don't have. We didn't have before we got him quite a bit. So yeah, it's good.
And I did like that. I like that switch that they made on the second power play too, that they have 2D on that one.
Yeah.
I do actually think that has made a difference with our transition back into the game after the power play, because I think Keith was saying that he was feeling like that last 15 seconds is kind of lost. You know, and not productive.
Yeah.
And I think that has made a difference too.
Yeah.
The fact that they have someone that they can put out on in those situations.
Yeah. So. Yeah. To go back to the two defensemen you're saying, right? Like the way Keefe is putting the two defense.
Yeah. Which is more traditional.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. We mentioned that, I think, on a show a while ago. I think we were saying maybe when the power play wasn't going so well, maybe we should go back to that old style with the two defense on the point. But and he got his first goal.
Seeing as
so that's good.
So that's really good. So I think that there's just more good things to come with that add to our roster. So I was thinking that since your bad and ugly kind of flow together, I wonder if I should give my bad first, so that we're not going back and forth on that. Does that make sense? Yep. All right. So my bad, which again, I mean, how much bad stuff has there been over this last little while? Not that much. My bad is the fourth line, which I'm going to say again, like I said, it's not so bad. And we've had a little bit of production recently out of it.
I was interested in finding out what you're going to say here, because I wasn't, I'm like.
With Blackwell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Simmons got a goal.
Finally.
Okay. So, yes. So, but I guess that is my bad, is that it seems to be kind of hit or miss. They don't necessarily have a real regular line there that you can count on to contribute every night. So there's been, for as many good things they have done, there have been some more not so great things.
Yeah.
You know, and up until last night, I think nobody would argue that Simmons has not been playing great and deserved to definitely sit out the other night for sure. And now Spezza got a little bit of time away. My feeling of it is that it's not necessarily that the line is bad, is that it's bad that they don't necessarily know what the hell they're doing with that line yet.
Yeah.
And that line yet doesn't have an identity. And in the playoffs, I think you really need to have consistent performance out of that group. So obviously, you know, Keith has got the blender out and he's making a lot of changes and he's trying different things, but we don't yet know what that group is going to look like on that bottom three going into the playoffs. Yeah. And so to me, that is the bad part of it, is that, you know, on some nights they're
I'm impressed with that Colin Blackwell. Since he's come over, he's similar to Michael Bunting in a way, I think, with his energy and the way he goes in on the corners, and he's always talking and
and it's refreshing. He finishes his checks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was actually surprised when they took him out for that for the one game and they had Clifford in there with Simmons and Spezza. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it is the blender thing that Keefe is doing, and he's trying to get the right combination. But now is the time to do that, let's just say. Like, even with the other, mind you, last night versus Philadelphia, I was wondering what the hell was going on, because Keefe was putting the line blender on for the top three lines too, or the two lines. Mm-hmm. Right. They said that it was because Matthews and Marner stayed out on the power play or something like that when they shouldn't have. That's why he did that. He wanted to send a message, I guess, to say,
reel them in and say, excuse me, I'm the one who decides how long you play.
Yeah, on the power play sort of thing, right? So, but in terms of the fourth line, I'm hoping Blackwell, I'm thinking it's going to be Spezza, Blackwell, and Simmons. Like, that's who I think is going to be on there.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that Spezza will be in center or playing the wing?
Probably on the wing, I think, because Blackwell, he played pretty well at center there when
I think that you can get more out of him in that position and possibly more out of Spezza in the wing spot.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it doesn't mean that Spezza won't take the faceoff still.
No.
You know, he's obviously really, really good at that.
And Spezza sometimes goes on the PK too, like with the taking the draw and that sort of thing. So, but I think... But hopefully Keefe will stop with the line blender at some point, because that's hard for the players too, to figure out what the hell they're doing, right? Like,
Well, and I think the other thing is the injuries still. It's interesting. Yeah. You know, I keep people hearing talk about our possible lineups, which we're going to get into, but there's still people that are expected to be back in the lineup. So, you know, where are they going to go? You know, like, anyways, it's interesting.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So let's get to your bad
and ugly.
And ugly, which kind of are, you know, rolls they're, into each
they're
other.
Both. I couldn't figure out a real bad one over the past couple of weeks anyways. But to me, the worst thing over the past couple of weeks has been the refereeing. The refs have just, I've lost my mind with them sometimes as to what the hell they're doing. And I keep saying,
and this is league wide too. It's not just our team.
Yeah. Oh,
like they've just been bad.
Yeah, but there's some interesting stats. I want to get these stats first, I have to say. So, I saw on Twitter the Leafs. I could not believe this. I have to find these. Hang on, I wrote them down. Sorry if I'm taking a couple of minutes here to get these stats. But while I'm looking for them, I'm just going to say, the biggest one, obviously, was that issue with Taylor Hall, and where he basically sucker punched Lyubushkin as the player was skating away from him. And thankfully, Lyubushkin came back versus Philly. He was only out a couple of games. But what I think happened there, like, I think Taylor Hall basically, yes, he might not have, like, it might not have been a blatant punch right in the face. It was to the side of the head. Mm-hmm. But I think he got him with the thumb of the glove, which is really hard. And that's what really caused the injury. But it's, to me, I just don't understand how he didn't even get a penalty for that. Like, it was just ridiculous.
No, I know.
It was ridiculous. And
I know it is ridiculous. If he's Leaf, he gets the book thrown at him regardless. Like, do you remember when Ty Domi suckered Samuelson?
Yeah. I mean, that was
how many games he got. I mean, okay, obviously that's a different kind of player, but even then, that the games that he got, which I think was like 23 or something like that, is way more than anybody else in the league at the time would have probably got because of the jersey that he wore. So this is like not something that is different at all from anything that, you know, we're used to in the past. But yeah, it's definitely, if, because even look at even just this year, Spezza getting 6 games.
Yeah.
For what he did. Yeah. You know.
Okay, I found the stats finally. All right. So,
all right.
In the last 5 years for the Leafs in penalties drawn per 60, let's say per 60 minutes of the game, the penalties drawn. The last 5 years in last year they were 23rd out of 31 teams. That's the highest they've ever been. So like they've been below that. To say that they've drawn penalties in the whole league, out of the whole league, that's how many. Mm-hmm. That's to me is insane. Over the last 5 years, I didn't want to give the whole stats. Tampa has been no lower than 7th, so they've obviously got a lot of calls, like a lot of penalties drawn for them. Colorado has been first 5 years in a row. Like they've had, mm-hmm. So I think Naz effect there, maybe Naz because he left Toronto, now he's getting all the calls there the last couple of years, mm-hmm. I don't know. And Florida has been second for a couple of times, for a couple of years. They've been second in penalties drawn in the league, but we're all the way down at 23rd or lower. Last year, I think we were 29th. And so obviously, I don't know, to me that sent me a little bit of a signal there that something's not adding up as to, and we have a team that's a possession team, like to possess the puck.
I know. So we always have, so how is it that we have the puck all the time and people are trying, the whole name of the game is to get that puck off of us and there's never any infractions.
Yeah. And then,
unless it's Michael Bunting, who's at the top of the league for penalties drawn. And that still doesn't get us any higher than 23rd. Right.
Yeah. And versus Boston again with that idiot, we were talking about his lovely cereal there, Brad Marchand. He basically, like twice, he cross checks John Tavares at the end of the period. Like the game wasn't even on. It was at the end of the period. He was just basically doing his usual thing, trying to suck Tavares into taking a penalty. But I mean, the cross checks were not like lame either. They were like, They were cross checks, and of course, like they had a little discussion. Tavares did and Marchand, but he didn't get a penalty. Marchand gets away with it, and I'm like, mm-hmm. like, what do we have to do? And then even when I wrote a comment here on Twitter, Darcy Tucker chimed in actually on Twitter. It was hilarious. When he's like, and I can picture him in. He likes to imitate. On TSN sometimes when he's interviewed, he likes to imitate Coach Pat Quinn He used to talk. He's like, oh, Pat Quinn would not be happy with the St. Patrick's Day reffing, he said, right? Because again, and he had, I can just see him in that Irish accent, trying to imitate the Irish accent, right? But I don't get it. And versus Winnipeg, speaking of Bunting, versus Winnipeg, Bunting gets cross-checked in the head at the start of the period. He hadn't even done anything. Like we talk about Bunting and like how does he make himself so annoying to people? But I mean, this was like 3 minutes into the game versus Winnipeg, and
he didn't even have time to get his good barbs.
Yeah, exactly. Yet. And the guy cross-checked him to the head, and the guy got nothing. The defense, I don't know who it was on Winnipeg, and I was like, okay, there's just something wrong here. Anyways, I don't know. They had apparently a meeting with the referees at this general manager's meeting in Florida earlier last week. Whether or not that does anything, I know Kyle Dubas just, I guess the media was trying to get something out of him, obviously, and he just smiled when he was asked about the refereeing. He just had a nice smile about it, but he didn't say anything because obviously he doesn't want to get his fine. But
you know, I honestly think that they should, you know, they're a wealthy organization. They can afford the freaking fine.
Yeah.
I think they need to step out of the box and say something and take the bloody fine.
Yeah.
Because that it's out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's definitely, at least for a while, it's probably going to put the microscope on them even more. And then they're going to have to reel it in and do a better job because.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, what they're doing now is not shining a light on it either. So
no,
maybe that's what they need to do.
I don't know, but I've had enough of it. And I mean, it's not going to get any better. Obviously, in the playoffs, they don't call anything, right? But they're always going to call something on us, probably, right? So, yeah.
But I mean, in that regard, maybe the fact that they're used to the abuse already and not, you know, having to play through it, maybe that's a good thing because they're not going to get the calls going their way in the playoffs even more so. So, and I mean, there's no way that, any of the teams that we play want us to take power plays either.
Oh, for sure.
So
yeah.
But and in fact, I'm almost like when we go on the penalty kill now, that I'm almost like, you know what? I think we should take more penalties ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that anybody would want to be against us in that situation either.
Yeah, and actually,
tell you the truth,
that leads right into our next thing here. Last we checked, the Leafs are actually leading the league in shorthanded goals with 12. And one of them made our Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. So let's roll it.
All right. So, yes. I don't think I have ever remembered a time when we have led in this category. So it is a breath of fresh air. And another person who is a breath of fresh air is in our number three spot, and that is Ilya Mikheyev. Versus the Devils, he had a beauty goal on a shorthanded effort where he used his speed down the wing and then cut in and went to the backhand and put it past the Devils goaltender. Honorable mention also goes to Mikheyev's goal versus Florida, which the Leafs named the Cobra Special on their Twitter account. So yes, he has definitely been on fire and using all of his tools to his advantage. And yes, that was an incredible goal and a really, really good way to start our highlight reel segment.
Yeah, he has four shorthanded goals, Ilya Mikheyev, the suit man. And
I know.
Just his speed.
It's his specialty. Yeah,
just his speed going down the wing. And now he's got this thing, his move is cutting into the net and trying to, towards the net and trying to deke the goalie in that. So he's got a, and he's a big guy. So it's hard to handle. And and he's really making impression. So that's, he's in our number three spot. So number two, we have Mitch Marner, one half of the dynamic duo. One half of the dynamic duo is just doing what he does and getting his name in the Leafs franchise record book. He's got the fewest games to 300 career assists. Marner did this in 411 games. Borja Salming held this record doing it in 469 games previously. I mean, you have to hand it to Mitch because this season he's definitely become more of a scoring threat. That was even shown last night, I guess, versus Carter Hart. When he passed it over to Matthews, like Hart was playing the shot coming from Marner, which most of the time they don't. They're going to look at, obviously, number 34 for the shot. But anyhow, and he in that case, he actually did end up passing it over, but it looked as though he's going to shoot it. So, Mitch now has 28 goals, which is a career high for him. And yeah, the goal that I actually loved was the 2-on-1 with Matthews versus the Bruins, and Marner one-timed it into the net to make it 4-1. That, to me, was just, it was great. We just love beating the Bruins, especially in Boston.
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the thing that blows my mind about Mitch, and this is more of a comment on his season, because this is like an incredible stretch that he's on, is would we ever have thought that this would happen the way he started the season? You know, after his first 24 games, he was sitting with 6 goals and 15 assists, only 21 points in those 24 games.
And everyone was hating on him.
And 100%. Yeah. And we're so forgetting that. So, and then I clipped a little section from an article that was written on January 8th. I want to read it to you and our listeners. Yeah. It says, following the Maple Leafs game in Arizona, after 35 games, Marner would have missed 9 games due to injury and COVID. Thus far, he scored at a pace that would give him 17 goals, 42 assists, and 59 points by the end of the season if he stays healthy. That would make the 2021-22 regular season the worst season in Marner's career. That's what was written in January, which is like basically, you know, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And since then, he has set a Leaf record with 60 points in his last 33 games, which is now the most points in that stretch of games in Maple Leafs history, surpassing Daryl Sittler, who had 58 in that same amount, and Lanny McDonald with 57.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And how soon the bashers forget. I mean, we've mentioned this before, like to say, where are they now? These bashers that were saying, trade him for a bag.
They're a lot like Hab fans, those Marner bashers.
They're like bandwagon.
They kind of disappear.
Bandwagoners, basically. So, But Mitch is just doing his thing, and they have something going there with AM34. Like, it's not, I know it's obviously all about the playoffs, I think they got their heads on straight. It's not just about the points for them in this season, no, sort of thing. They're going for something more. And you can see that in the way they're going about things. But who's number one?
Our number one is obviously Austin Matthews with his 50 goals. So obviously the goal itself was an empty netter, so not that big of a highlight really moment for Matthews, but for a franchise that is over 100 years old, for him to be only the fourth player to get to 50 is a huge deal. And now he is going to be climbing over that. And I'm sure that Rick Vive's record of 54 is going to fall in short order.
Yeah.
And I think that he was glad to get that done and over with. So the talk can just, you know, end on that, really.
Yeah.
And
the fact that he would have done it one of the last two seasons, if it wasn't because of all the COVID and everything else, the shortened things. Like, he just wanted to get it done. And I really hope that the Leafs somehow bring Rick Vive into the conversation, to have him at the building at some point. I mean, we don't have a lot of home games left, but hopefully the organization does something, because Rick Vive is really on social media and everything, and in his any media availability he does on talk shows and that, he really says like he wants to hopefully have the opportunity to congratulate him personally, to congratulate Matthews personally, and and kind of pass the torch basically to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
well, they did have him at a game recently for the Leafs troops segment, and that's the first time like we've seen him in the alumni jacket, I think, like ever. So the fact that they brought him in for that, hopefully that means that, you know, kind of he's sort of brought back into the fold, and they're gonna
He's a former captain
there to help Austin.
So
they do need to celebrate him more. Like, he's kind of the forgotten. It's like everybody that is part of those early 80s teams is sort of kind of the forgotten people, you know. And it's not until Wendell kind of came into the fold that people kind of started, you know, paying attention to them again. And there's this gap between Daryl Sittler and Lanny McDonald and Wendell Clark that is completely, you know, people have erased that.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. I mean, it's actually 40 years ago, I guess March 23rd, I think it was 40 years ago, that anniversary of Rick Vive scoring that first 50 goal. He did it three times too. Like, I mean, it's not like he did it that one time. That
I know.
It's like one and done kind of thing. But the thing going back to...
And considering there's not much to celebrate at that time, like...
Oh, it was huge.
You should be celebrating that. Yeah.
And the thing with Matthews, going back to him, because it is his moment, obviously, scoring 50 goals, just the way he scores the goals. I mean, it's not just one way that he does it. And we've talked about before how he practices his craft in the summertime, all these things that he works on. But Luke Fox of Sportsnet, he actually broke it down, his 50 goals this season, that he had 22 wrist shots, eight snapshots, 7 backhands, 6 tips, five slap shots and two wraparounds is how he broke down the 50 goals. So
well, and he doesn't even have the empty.
I know,
nets
that's
there.
What I thought.
He has two of those. Which he didn't have. Like he was not like, I guess he let, Hyman be the empty net specialist, you know, but now that he's not there, he's kind of, you know, figured, okay, I can get a couple of those too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got those as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was sick.
Anyway, so it's definitely just so versatile and with his shot, which really sets him apart from pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, so it's obviously great that the team is getting on a roll as we get closer to the end of the regular season. And with only 14 games left before the playoffs, for our segment of the third period, we are going to get you ready for that with some pre-playoff talk.
Yeah, so I don't know about you, Syl, but I'm a little bit worried with this Leafs goaltending situation going into the playoffs. I know, like, Jack Campbell played well last night. What worries me now is that basically we only have in our entire organization, we only have three healthy goaltenders, and that's counting Jack Campbell as well. So we have him, Hutchinson, and Eric Schallgren, who's like 25 years old and like has basically the few games this regular season. He's played well, although that last game that he had was a little bit shaky versus Winnipeg. He didn't look very confident in that game, but we managed to obviously score a lot to and we managed to come back after getting down 2-0. But I just hope, because Jack Campbell is injury prone as well, knock on wood, that he after last night's game he came out and said he was perfectly fine, he felt great and everything. So I just hope that continues. But if something happens in the playoffs, I don't know. Like Michael Hutchinson is basically our next guy to go between the pipes. And
I don't think that he'd be the next guy.
I think
that they put Schallgren in.
But like,
oh, definitely. I think so.
I think Mrazek has played his last game as a Leaf. Unfortunately, it just hasn't.
100%.
It just hasn't gone well for him.
The karma, for whatever reason, has not been with him. And I don't know, the ghosts, the Leaf ghosts, don't like him for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But poor guy, I feel for him.
Yeah.
But that was an experiment that has definitely gone way wrong.
Yeah, him and the Nick Ritchie one. Basically, those are the two.
I have already forgotten that he's played on our team, Nick Ritchie, by the way. He's like, he's such an afterthought now. Anyway, as far as how I feel about the goaltending situation, you know what? I actually think that this time off and away for Campbell could be a good thing. And I think they didn't rush him back for that reason also.
Yeah.
I think that they've taken their time. He's had lots of time to practice, kind of, you know, get his body and his head right. And I think he's going to bounce back. I do really, really believe that. And I hope to God that he doesn't get hurt, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But,
Joseph Woll, it's hilarious though. Joseph Woll has an injury. Like, he played pretty well too, like when he came up earlier in the season, but now he has a shoulder injury.
But he's another guy. He's injury prone too. Like, I just think he's got that lanky body type that is probably really hypermobile, and
all of our goalies seem to be injury prone, because then Ian Scott has only played 7 games in the last 3 years because he's been injured. And he was like the top, he was like the top goalie in the Western Hockey League a few years back but 7 games in 3 years. I was just like, we don't have much luck. Even if we wanted to, like, we've talked about homegrown talent and developing in our system, the goalies, like, we just don't seem to have much luck when it comes to these goaltenders. I don't know. And I really just hope that we don't. Well, you're saying it's probably going to be, you think it's going to be Eric Schallgren in the net if something does happen.
I do.
But hopefully not.
And I mean, you never know. He could be the next Felix Potvin. Like, yes, he's been a little bit shaky, but look, remember how shaky Felix was in some of those playoff games?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And shelled and totally decimated in some. Yeah. But they have a similar temperament.
Yeah.
They're both cool, calm, don't show a lot of emotion, unless they're, you know, in a fight with another goalie. We're yet to see if Shalgren can do that. Yeah. But you never know. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. In the playoffs, sometimes it doesn't matter if you get shelled like that. Look how far we went with a young guy like that back
then. Yeah.
I mean, if it came down to that, they could still go a long way with, yeah, with somebody, yeah, that's, well, he's, you know, younger, yeah, and inexperienced.
Yeah, and obviously we have a more veteran team now too. So we've been through, especially in the playoffs, mm-hmm, what we've gone through already. So I'm sure that they would, like the coaching staff, like, and the goaltending coach, they'd help him along. But yeah, hopefully we won't get to that point. And Jack can't. He looked good last night versus Philadelphia. So let's hope that continues. Mm-hmm. But what else are we going to talk about?
Yes. So if. Well, we're going to talk about, you know, who we want to see the Leafs play in the first round. So that's such a tough, tough call.
It is right
but
now.
I yeah. think, we. I don't know, I'm not even sure like where we, like who we would be playing right now. Would it still be Tampa right now?
Yes.
That we'd be playing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the team that I don't want to play, I think.
Right.
But you know what? I don't know. This is why it's really hard to say. I don't want to play them because obviously they have the experience and everything of winning the last two cups. However, statistically, over this last, you know, stretch since January that we've been talking about with, you know, the way our team and some of our stars have been playing, their stars have not been playing commensurately as good as ours. Statistically, they haven't been that great over this last 3 months.
Yeah, but for me, though, so they're saving not themselves necessarily that way. They're just,
that's what I was just going to say, is that that's what you got to worry about, that, you know, they're not pushing the pedal to the metal right now because they know what to do. Yeah. And
so who are you choosing then if you don't?
Yeah. So I think
you don't want to see.
Honestly, I want to play Boston.
Yeah. All right.
I'd like to play Boston because I actually think that over a 7-game series, you know, even just, I mean, okay, we'll see a little more because we're going to play them again. And that last game is probably could be for a lot of marbles.
Yes, yeah.
And that could be like the first game in an 8-game series, potentially, maybe, instead of 7. But I actually think that we could get it done against them this time around. Because talk about goaltending, you know, this is the thing I hate about, you know, watching games sometimes on Hockey Night in Canada. They're going on and on about how great their young goalie is, you know.
And then he lets.
He's unproven, untested. Yeah. You know, what's the difference between our goalies and a goalie like that? Like, nothing. You know, he's nothing special. Yeah. So
yeah, I know lately,
you know, I don't,
like you're saying, lately on Hockey Night in Canada, they seem to be Chris Cuthbert. I used to like him, but he's changing into a Jim Houston almost again, like with his commentary of.
Well, they it must be a directive, honestly.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
To not show bias.
Yeah, yeah.
To tell you the truth, like, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I was hoping for Boston as well, surprisingly enough. That's who I'm hoping, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be Tampa. And I'm worried. The only thing I'm worried about that is, well, if we get home, we have to get home ice somehow in that case. Like, we got to still stay on a roll here and focus on getting home ice. Yeah. That will be very important in that series. The other thing that'll be important is Sheldon Keefe not getting out-coached. Because John Cooper is
he's a brilliant
coach, and it's really going to be a tough matchup for Sheldon Keefe. And I mean, if he couldn't even, the guy's fired now, that Ducharme in Montreal, he couldn't even beat him with his like with his line combinations and that. But and just the game,
I think,
keeping up with the game.
Sheldon Keefe in that series, he didn't get outcoached by Ducharme. He outcoached himself. He just made it too complicated for himself.
Yeah.
You know, he did too much stuff, I think. So
and the year before, Tortorella was there in Columbus, right? In his first year.
Yeah.
That was his first year. I'm willing to give him a pass for that first, the bubble one or whatever with Columbus.
Yeah.
But last year, obviously, it was devastating sort of thing. And now if he has to go against John Cooper, like, that's going to be an ultimate test for him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hope, I mean, not to say that, what's the guy's name in Boston? I forget his name.
Cassidy.
Yeah, Bruce Cassidy.
Cassidy.
Yeah, he, not to say that he's obviously not a really good coach as well, but it would just...
Yeah, he's no slouch.
But it would just be nice to beat them. It's just that whole thing, like mm-hmm. Chicago and Vancouver had that thing years ago when Chicago was always beating them. And but I don't know. It's going to be tough to get past that first round. That's the big test.
Well, that's
doesn't matter
the thing,
who they play.
It's
the one team I don't want to see.
I hate that.
One team I don't want to see mm-hmm. for sure is Carolina.
Carolina? Yeah. I know, that's the same with me. Like, I don't want to have to play them. I think that would be, they're just, it's hard with them because they're so sound defensively, but they're so unpredictable too. And Brind'Amour is definitely a rallier, you know, like he can get his team up, you know, like no other coach, I don't think, in the league can. Yeah. So I definitely don't want to play them either. And in Florida, I'm kind of iffy about because they're sort of in the same boat as us as far as needing to get over the hump. And so, you know, I mean, it would make for a great series for sure because you've got two desperate teams, really.
Yeah. One of them will break, their record, basically, or their playoff playoff past demons, I guess.
I don't like the system because I don't like that you're – basically eliminating, like, this is the thing with NHL playoffs. The first rounds are basically should be the Stanley Cup. Yeah. It's the opposite of on how the NBA does it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
The first rounds are like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, nobody even cares about them. And now you're going to basically, you know, eliminate
all the good teams.
Potentially a team that could go all the way.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll have to wait and see. We still got some time to figure that out with the standings. They're really tight. So, like you said, it might come down to that last game versus the Bruins on April 29th when it comes to figuring out who we're actually going to play and whether or not we'll get home ice. And let's get into the games that are coming up in the next couple of weeks.
All right. So we're in the last month of the season, if you can believe that. It feels like it's been a pretty long year, and the next couple of weeks will once again be very busy. We are recording this podcast on Sunday, as we mentioned, and the Leafs are headed to the state of Florida for back-to-back games versus Tampa and Florida before heading to Dallas. Then they're going to come home for three versus a couple of non-playoff teams and the Habs and Sabres before they face the Washington Capitals on April 14th.
Yeah, so I just think
this is going to be a tough week.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week, and we have to beat the Habs. I'm like skipping over these two games.
Yes,
for the Florida road trip, but we have to beat the Habs and the Sabres at least once. I don't think we've beaten them once. I know the Habs we have not. I don't think, and the Sabres I don't think we have either. Like or maybe it's just the most recent games that are in my mind and that we've blown. But I want them to win those games. Those are points that we need. We've lost so many points losing to non-playoff teams. And then the Washington Capitals game, I don't know, that one's going to be interesting because they're in a wild card spot right now. So, but there's really not, like, in the East, everything is set for the playoffs, basically. Like, it's just positioning, really.
It's just position.
Yeah, yeah. The West is much more interesting that way, to say that the wild card spots are still up for who's gonna be in there. But it's always I guess with Ovechkin there, I don't know where he is, how far behind he is in the Rocket Richard trophy. I think he's dropped off a little bit on the standings that way. So I think it's more Matthews and,
but he's still within shooting distance.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it's
he's the kind of guy that can put together a few multi goal games and end up right close to the top again.
Yeah, so that's true too. But we need to get home ice. So if we can win them all, that would be great. But after the Caps, Leafs have three games again versus non-playoff teams in the Senators, the Islanders, and Philadelphia again. So, yeah, I mean,
we just got to get her done.
We got to get, obviously, we won't, let's just, well, those three, maybe we win them all, but we got to get as many points as we can so that we can get that home ice. And and you never know, depending on what happens in that Florida game on Tuesday versus the Panthers, we could still be in the running for first in the division, which is what their goal was, I think, from the beginning. But depending on what happens in these two games in Florida, that's really going to tell a lot whether or not first place is still up for grabs for us.
So, like you said, with the exception of maybe first place in the Atlantic, like we mentioned before, the division standings are tight. And hopefully when we get to our next episode, the Leafs will still be in the hunt for home ice in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. And that's all. So all those fans out there, it's all about the playoffs. It's happening soon. So we're wrapping it up here. After listening to our show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a review. Both Apple and Spotify have a listener option to leave a rating or a review, and it's important because we want to hear your thoughts on the show, and it will give us exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And just another reminder, if you want to help us out with a donation, please visit our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. And our handle is LTL1917. You can follow us there. And again, any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or on any of our social media profile pages. And if you do donate, we will give you a shout out on our next episode.
Yeah. And we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything they do. Fortunately, I think this is like the, I don't know if it's, I shouldn't randomly say it's the 20th wave or whatever we're in, but I think it's the sixth wave.
I think it's the sixth.
The sixth wave. And but without our healthcare workers and everything that they're doing for us and first responders, it's amazing what they do for us.
Yes, and it's hard to believe we are closing in on completing our first 82-game season of the podcast. And the best is still to come. We will be back talking Leafs again in a couple of weeks. So go, Leafs, go! Leafs, go.